So welcome, everyone. We are a little sparse here at the Southtown office, but that's okay. I was just saying to Liz, I really wish we could see each other more in person more often because there's so many cool people on this board that I've gotten to know. So thank you for joining. I know that the weather throughout the state has been a little unpredictable. It hit southern Utah this morning, which was not expected. And my phone was blowing up like crazy with announcements from the school, which my husband had to deal with. Great. So while I was cozy in my bed. So we'll get started. There's always a little bit of a lull between October and January, holidays and things. But we'll cover what's been done over the last 90 days. You've probably seen several emails that have gone through over the last few months about different changes in the Department of Workforce Services and throughout the state, so I'm just going to highlight a few of those. Many of you are familiar with Melissa Stark, who just retired as the Commissioner for Apprenticeship Program. We are diligently and actively working to refill that role and get that going so we don't have a gap on many amazing things happening in the state as far as apprenticeships go. That process is underway and will probably be rounded out in the next 2-3 weeks. That sounds like sure.
I love it.
She loves it. She's handling a lot of responsibilities right now. But we are making headway on that. And should have that taken care of rather soon. There's also the new Department of Workforce Services Deputy Director, Nate McDonald, just took a new role in the private sector, which I was super bummed to hear about, but that's okay. Was that you?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I did read that. I mean, not one of our board members stole from the Department of Workforce Services. Awkward.
But I didn't recruit him. I'm just saying I'm part of the company that got
okay. And in charge of human resources.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Oh.
So Nate McDonald is still adjacent to the work on the board, but we are excited to have Rebecca Banner, and I've requested and hope that she'll be able to join us either in April or maybe July and just maybe introduce herself and kind of give us an update about her. And then with that, that was an internal transfer, so that made an opening in the child care director seat, and Heather Thomas has stepped into that role. So a lot of moving and changing and shifting. If anybody isn't sure who they should reach out to for what, reach out to Natalie and she will find you the right person and answer any of those questions. We need to be quiet. We need one more person for a quorum. So we're going to skip the minute for now and hope that one more person joins us.
Megan, all the changes that you just talked about, the materials or?
They are not, but they will be in the minute.
Okay,
good. That Natalie will send out. So if you have any questions before then, you can reach out to me or Natalie and I can let you know. The next thing on the agenda, sorry about lots of different things happening. We were able to recertify for the third time. Remember, we have to do it every 2 years. Recertify the price one stop. That happened on November 16th. We have to vote on that, but I can't. So we're going to just start going to the end of the meeting and just realize that if we don't get enough people, that we will do a giant email vote on everything that we'll have to send out. This meeting, in addition to being a little bit in the air because of the weather. What's up down south in St. George tends to take some of our board members, and then also the legislative session getting started tends to take people. So January is always a little tricky. So we'll just keep going. But Price was recertified, and Tana's not here. Is she on the list?
Dan is there.
Dan.
No, Kimberly is there.
So we had a lot of DWS support at the recertification, but we had four board members attend. Dan was there, and Dale Curtis was there. He's not able to be with us today. Cannon was able to go, and then also Spencer Lovelace did his first one-stop certification as well, and he's only been a board member for like 90 days, so he gets a gold star. So thank you for participating in that. Again, always a good experience if you're a new board member and haven't had the opportunity. Do we have an upcoming date for our next one, or at the time? We'll just like, no, about it. We're not going to do that right now. So we'll let you know about that opportunity. And then just by way of information, we talked about it in our executive committee meeting. You'll know that you noticed that we have 12 comprehensive one-stop centers. Like we have, James came, that was a bonus. So we have 12 comprehensive one-stop centers, which is when we do the giant certification. But throughout the state, we also have 19 what we call affiliation centers, which are smaller centers that maybe don't have all of the partners under one umbrella, but they have most of the services available. And those hit some of our smaller cities, like Heber and Brigham City and Emory and Moab. They have what we call affiliation sites, and those have been recertified in the last quarter as well. So lots going on there. Any questions about recertification or affiliate sites or anything like that? Okay. I'm still going to wait for voting to end. As many people as we can. we might lose people.
Yeah,
am I only voting on minutes and the Park Center?
Yeah.
They're voting right now. And
I'm voting. And
okay, we have three things to vote on. So just so you're mentally prepared, we're going to vote on the minutes. That one's not hard to get mentally prepared all around. The Price recertification and the affiliates recertification as a whole. So the first thing we need is a motion to approve the minutes from October 12th. Deanna first. Second. And Jeremy second. Any discussion or criticism towards Natalie? No shaking. She does amazing. She knows I'm teasing her. We were talking about her last note-taking thing that she was so exhausted she had taken out after that one. I'm giving her a hard time. So, no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? For anyone?
We got your back now. Thanks. Nope. You're gone again.
When you turn away, the mic's there.
But I can't see. I'm not far away.
Gary, can you hear me? No, Gary cannot hear me.
Now we can.
Oh, no.
Better now, Megan.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with Greg. When you're looking forward, we can hear you. When you turn, we're all kind of looking at each other going, is it just me or is it everybody?
Could you hear Zach when he just stopped?
We voted for your first vote, and then you went.
We didn't, Megan, no.
Okay.
We liked Zach, though, so we're sure he said good things.
Okay, well, back to what I was saying. Price pass their certification. We need to vote to have them stay certified as a one-stop. So I need a motion to approve Price as a one-stop.
Megan, I'll go ahead and make that motion to approve the recertification of the Price Center.
Thank you, Gary. I need a second.
Thank you.
Dan just seconded it. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor of recertifying Price for the third time as a one-stop center?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so moved. And then for the affiliate site, be patient, I'm going to read them off. I need a motion, you don't have to read all of these. We need a motion to approve all of the affiliate sites, and that is Heber, Park City, Nephi, South Davis, Brigham City, Emory, Moab, Landing, Roosevelt, Vernal, Panguitch, Kanab, Beaver, Richfield, Junction, Loa, Manti, Delta, and the Refugee Services Office here in Salt Lake City. That's a lot of places that Kim had to be certified. Thank you, Kim.
I'll make a motion.
Sarah will make the motion that we approve the affiliate site. Need a second. Dan will second. Any discussion? One thing I just wanted to make note, we did talk about the Refugee Services Office. That's a little bit different than the smaller town offices. And Kim just clarified, this is the second time that we've approved them. And they also have Voc Rehab as well with them. So they're offering a lot of the same services and doing amazing work there. They are really doing a great job. So if anybody's wondering why the Refugee Services Office is in there, that is why. So Sarah made the motion. Deanna seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Delayed. Aye in favor. No opposition. Good. Okay. All right. So moved. We're done voting. So the next thing we need to talk about is everybody in their packets or online. You have a couple of things happened. You would have seen an invite to a town hall meeting that was on January 4th. I believe we had, I know James was on that call, Dan was on that call, Dan was on that call, I was on that call. When we present our plan, we do have to have a town hall meeting so that public can have some input. Many of us were on there. I appreciate those that attended. It was a very well-attended town hall. This is probably I don't know how many we've done. Every 2 years, we have one. So we've done several of them. Often no one attends. We had 60 people on the call this time. I think just the plan is getting very established. More people are understanding the impact and role it has in their organization. There was a great presentation, but then a lot of questions and dialogue about what it meant for their organizations, how it affects them, additional questions that are ongoing. So it was great dialogue, great discussion. We have Nicole here to kind of sum up that, and she's going to talk about a few things. The entire plan, what we know, is 300 pages long. If you don't work for Department of Workforce Services, you probably haven't read the whole thing. And maybe even if you do work for people, you haven't read the whole thing. Except for Kim. She's read it front to back 10 times. So in your packet or online, you would have gotten a summary report. So Nicole's going to reference that a little bit. So if you can pull that out as she's talking, we'll give her a minute And then after that, I'm going to turn the time over to Heather and let her kind of talk about our 2022 results and what that looks like kind of always a year in the rear till now. So I'll turn the time over to Nicole and let her do some highlights.
I'm actually going to turn it over to Chair.
Oh, you are? Okay, you have to, if you're in the room, you have to talk loud. So, or come close by me.
I'm pretty loud, so I don't know. Can you guys hear me? Yes, that's something I can do, talk loud. So, you guys, I want to take a minute and just thank everyone, all of our partners and board members for contributing to our plan. We've been working on it for quite a while. And the first draft is out for public comment, and as Nikki talked about, our town hall meeting. And we have this document in the packet. It's an executive summary, and it highlights some important things. One of the things you may have noticed, and we talked about at the town hall meeting, is that we did a combined plan this year. In the past, it's been a unified plan. And what that means is a unified plan requires that we have our core partners participate as defined under the yellow law. Under the combined plan, it means that one of our required partners or more can also contribute to the plan with us. And the our required partner that joined us this time is the, the Jobs for Veterans Services Grant.
State Grant.
JVSG is the acronym. They joined us and participated in the plan. So you can see a little blurb about them on page 5 of this executive summary. You can also take a look at the vision and the goals, the high-level goals in the plan that you all have approved as a board. And also take a look at the a summary of the economic summary of the plan. So if you read through this, if you have any feedback or any input further on this, please feel free to send me an email, and we will incorporate that. And also, if you get a chance, you can take a look at the full version of the plan. I think we've sent it to you, and it's also available on our website. I also want to take a minute to offer Stephanie or Aaron, if they like, they have full sections in the plan, too, that are not summarized in the summary, if they would like to add anything now. Stephanie, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, not really. Just that we continue to try and offer the best services that we can to our adult education students across the state, and focusing on providing additional training opportunities for them as they complete their high school diploma or gain English language acquisition skills. So,
thank you.
Yeah, for the VR section, I just wanted to add that we were able to identify some really good goals and strategies based off of the needs assessment that included surveying community partners, current and former clients, and also employers. It really gave us good insights about the needs of individuals with disabilities to be successful. And we also partnered with our state vocational rehabilitation council in the development of these goals. So we feel pretty confident going into the next 4 years.
Thanks, you guys. Yeah, we only have to do it every 4 years, so that's a good thing. Does anybody have any questions about the plan or the executive summary?
And I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No. I was just going to say, for anybody new or if you're just trying to still wrap your head around a little bit, this small document, not 300 pages, it's just a good refresher to kind of read through this and then remember what I got you into when you said yes to the board. This is most of your first new. So it's just a good refresher to understand really what our focus is and what our role is. So in addition to getting feedback, because it's a draft, and we have so much good support, that a lot of things just show up in front of us, which we're grateful for. But read through it and just kind of help solidify that in your mind that really, as you work in your committees and as we meet as a board, that supporting what's in this paper is what our job is. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And Shannon's here. She wants to say something. Hi, Shannon.
Hi. Sorry, I'm a little late. And this is probably a dumb question because I will openly admit I've not read all 300 and something pages. But what is the one big takeaway moving into the next 4 years, or you can have two, I don't care, or three. But from my standpoint, like, what are the top two or three things you guys are doing that's a little different moving into these next 4 years?
So one's going to be adding changing to the comprehensive plan, I think, is adding...
Combined plan.
I'm using the wrong word. Combined plan. And adding the veterans grant in. But does anybody else want to?
I think that's sort of a hard question to answer because we have so many statutory teams that we have to address in the plan. Like, there's a long campus. So
okay.
I would say that... I would just pay attention to the strategic plan section. If you can't read, and if I don't have to think you guys have time to read it. That's part of why we put together this executive summary for you guys, and I would just encourage you to, it's a short, it's like seven pages here, but it's got pictures. So the strategic plan piece, I would say.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll read that. That's better. I can handle five pages.
Yeah.
Can I just as a reminder to everyone, the committees, everybody should be on a committee, and all of your committees have goals that support this plan. They're high level, but they support this plan, so you can also go and take a look in the plan at your committee goals, and those will be maybe more personal and direct to you as well.
And right now, if you're either not on a committee, which there's a few of you, or if your interest has switched, currently recruiting for Career Pathways, Apprenticeship, and Youth right now. So, contact me, and I'll help find, and then you can find out what your more focused goals could be on your committee work.
Yes. And then just a couple things I wanted to add as well. So this is a four-year plan, but for those of you that might be new or haven't been through this before, we do also do a plan modification every 2 years. So we will be coming back in 2 years, modifying this plan kind of based off of what needs and what you're working on with your committee. So know that we really do talk about it every 2 years more holistically. But like Kim mentioned, all the work and effort that you're doing on the committees really is like the work of the plan and influences what our strategic goals are and the vision for our plan. Additionally, this is out for public comment, so I dropped the link online, but it's also included in the email that Natalie sent out. It's available through February 3rd on our website. So if you do want to take a look at, let's say, your committee section or look at something that's maybe of interest to you and you have any input or feedback on that, feel free to email Kim, and she can incorporate that feedback. We're working to try to finalize the plan mid-February because we will need to send it out for board approval before we can submit it, and it is due March 4th. So if you could just make sure to keep an eye out for that email because we will need approval from the board before we can submit it. There's not going to be, huge changes from what we shared today. It's just going to be modifying things potentially based off of feedback and input or incorporating some additional components. So you have a pretty good holistic idea right now of what the plan is, but we can point out any significant changes when we send out that email from what you already have shared with you so far.
So make a note to watch for an email for a board vote mid-February, and then a second email for me in case you didn't see the first one. Now Heather's gonna, and I think do the people in the room have to annual narrative?
No,
it's in a link. So because it is not 5 pages, it's 30 pages. It's a little bit longer, but for those of you that have your laptops up or are on digitally, you do have a link to the annual narrative of the WIO plan, so I'm going to turn the time over to Heather for that, to just give us some highlights there.
Thanks. So, like Megan said, this, you have this electronically, and good news, like she said, this is only 30 pages, so not 300. And this report highlights each program's services, so we encourage you to take a look at some of the WIOA impact, the impact that WIOA has had over the past year. If nothing else, please read the success stories in this report. Those are our favorites. So I want to highlight and read to you one of the stories that was in there that kind of stood out to me. So this was one of our education and training success stories. Can you guys all hear me online? Cool. Ron was referred to the SNAP Education and Training Program in April 2023. During his first meeting with his employment counselor, they discussed his interests, experiences, and qualifications. She provided him with support, encouragement, and resources such as bonding, where to obtain a free cell phone, how to apply for the current education program, a virtual job fair opportunity, and housing options. Ron applied and was approved for WIOA Adult Services and was issued funds to pay for his rental deposit, first month's rent, fuel, and meals. He attended the virtual job fair, connected with Salt Lake City Police Department, and networked with the recruiters. He applied for a dispatcher position, completed the assessment test, and had 2 interviews. He was offered the position and started at a starting wage of $22.59 an hour, which will increase to $32 an hour after he completes their training program. Ron sent an email to his employment counselor saying, "Thank you sincerely. Your help throughout this time has been absolutely invaluable to me. I am eternally grateful for all of the help and resources you have given me. You have helped me find hope in a time where I thought I had lost it. The state is very lucky to have a social worker with your passion for the job and the people you work with, and I want you to know you are appreciated." So we love our success stories, so please make sure you read through those at least, if nothing else. So if it's okay, I'll go ahead and jump right into our performance outcomes, which is next on the agenda, and talk about some of those for you. WIOA is required to report all performance measures that the Department of Labor uses to indicate the success of programs provided in each state. So in your packet or online, you receive this one-page WIOA program year outcome report. So for a quick definition of each performance measure, just we encourage you to reference the definitions on the handout. It's at the bottom of that handout. So performance measures are negotiated every 2 years as part of the WIOA state plan process and with each federal program, federal partner. So for adult dislocated worker youth and Wagner Kaiser, the program year is from July to June. And vocational rehabilitation and adult ed, their program year is October to September. So just so you know that. And then also on this handout, you'll see the negotiated goals and the actual outcome for each performance measure for the core program. So in order to be considered passing for each individual performance outcome, the program must achieve at least 50% of the negotiated goal. So we have marked in green font all measures that were met, that have met the requirement to be considered passing. So for adult, dislocated worker, youth, and minor Kaiser programs, all measures were met as we achieved at least that 50% of the negotiated goal. All of our programs continue to strive to exceed that negotiated goal. So we see that through focused strategies in the Workforce Development Division, we are continuing to focus on increasing employment outcomes and individuals who earn a credential. Employer measures are reported as one measure for the state, combining the efforts of the core program. So we have 2 employer measures, and both of those increased. So the first one is employer engagement. So this one increased from 16.6% to 25.7%. So there are just over 33,000 employers contacted this year, and those employers were contacted by 12 workforce development specialists, one rapid response specialist who supports employers experiencing layoffs, and three USOR employer staff. So even though these measures still appear low, as a reminder, this measure reduced the percentage of the state's total employers using services. And that denominator for the measure is 128,562 employers. So we continue to develop strategies, innovative strategies, to further increase the number of employers who work with workforce services to try to increase those numbers. So that next measure that I want to talk about that increased for our employers is the employer repeat business. And that represents the employers who use employer services more than once within the 3 years. So that measure increased from 42.9% to 55%. So we're pretty excited about those measures.
Heather, you have a question for right here.
Oh,
and congratulations.
That's a
considerable gain.
Yeah.
Can you give us examples of a couple of things that maybe you've done differently to get those kind of results?
Sure.
Well, honestly, I think this would be a good thing for Zach or Weston to weigh in on because there's staff that are out there meeting with employers and talking with them.
Yeah.
So I don't
sorry to put you on the spot. That's
mm-hmm.
pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sorry.
That's
or you can come right here next.
That's a great question.
Yeah, the mic is
here.
Well,
that's
my car,
though.
Can everybody hear me okay and work away? All right, awesome. So a couple of newer things we've done in answer to your question is, one, we've done a lot of strategies at local areas. How can we increase our engaging employers? How can we also increase the person that's actually needing those services? But I'll be honest, one of the probably the more immediate impacts is we've made this from sort of a statewide deal. Now it's at each area, it's on a force plan that if we're successful, we need to have these employers met with your area. And so that's now we did a force plan for our staff that these are your goals to achieve. So.
And if I hear you correctly, that you're naming specific employers that each staff needs to, or does the plan get that granular, or they?
We have, Not necessarily individual employers, but we have at a geographic location, here are the list of worksite locations that we can interact with to improve either measure. And so staff has that list, and they can proactively go out and reach out. And then we also really try to encourage that you can experience work with us, that employees want to come back
and
choose that repeat business.
And when you say that they go out, I think, do they make appointments? Do they just...
All of the above. It could be a phone calling, it could be an appointment, it could be a community meeting, maybe just an employer, it could be at a job fair, it could be an event, there's a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's hard to know the success of those kinds of activities. So that's why I was curious what your instinct tells you is what form of most successful. Is it a combination?
The two areas is each area has a very strategically looking, okay, what can we do? And then, as I said, create it as a performance measure from the staff itself.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. If there are there any other questions? Before I turn it over to Erin. Okay. So I'll turn it over to Erin for vocational rehabilitation.
Thank you, Heather. A few things I wanted to go over with the VR program update is we negotiate our targets with our federal partners, the Rehabilitation Service Administration. And these outcomes are reflective of both the youth and adult population of disabilities that we serve. For our negotiated targets, I know it's not reflected with the font color, but in all areas we were able to achieve or exceed our negotiated outcomes. And we proposed and also were able to achieve some year-to-year growth in all areas. A couple examples that I wanted to touch upon, when you look at the second and fourth quarter, we really put a lot of emphasis on making sure that our clients with disabilities, once they're employed, they are aware of any type of post-employment supports they may need to keep their employment if they're having any troubles or barriers, and then also utilizing the supports from Leah Lovato and the business relations team to really educate employers on accommodations and natural supports to really help with that employment retention. And then in the other areas, we look at credential and skill gain. We're really putting a lot of focus on making sure our clients are getting connected to not just jobs, really understanding the career pathways and understanding about the registered apprenticeship opportunities and credentials that they can have for long-term career growth. And then the next one I wanted to bring up was VR's contributions to the services to employers. This was shown in our town hall presentation, but since the last state plan update, VR services to employers have increased by over 400%. So in addition to Leah and her business relations specialist, we utilized our Choose to Work employment specialists who are really getting out there and providing training, technical assistance, and additional supports on hiring and retaining individuals with disabilities. So those are some of the key standouts and some examples from the VR program. And I'll turn it over to Stephanie if there are any questions.
Not seeing any questions, so I'll go ahead and talk about adult education. So if you were to pull up year-to-year comparisons from the last couple of years, you would see a significant increase in all of our outcomes. And so that comes, you know, through a lot of hard work and emphasis on a couple of things. We started to focus on retention and how to keep our students longer to increase our outcomes. Through some state goals that have been carried over for the last couple of years, and we've really seen some success in keeping our students longer and longer each year. We've also been emphasizing post-testing some of those measurable skill gains. The majority of measurable skill gains for adult education come from academic level gains, from showing, you know, from where they enter the program, and then after a specific number of hours of instruction, have they seen an academic level gain from post-testing. We've developed a culture of continuous improvement and being very intentional and targeted in how we provide support and building capacity for our personnel to continuously improve. And we've built also a culture of innovation, right, and encouraging innovation and making sure that programs have as many resources as possible to continue to build and improve their program, trying to get those resources in the field. I do want to point out that adult education, even though it says adult education, almost 20% of our students are actually 16 to 18-year-olds who are disengaged from high school. So when you look at, like, for instance, the median wages, those might be lower than the WIOA adult. That's because youth typically have lower wages, right? And we do have a significant number of youth. We also serve students who are incarcerated. And, you know, those services in correctional facilities were severely hampered by COVID. And even after COVID, we're still trying to get in one or two of the facilities that we were in before COVID. And so that rebounding has been just a lot slower for our correctional facilities, specifically county jails, than our other, you know, community programs bounced back really pretty quickly. And it's interesting too, in the last little while, as we've seen an increase actually in our 16 to 18 year old population and an increase in our English language learners. So I'm just watching that population change as the needs of the community changes. Any questions for me?
One thing, I just want to go back to the success story that Heather shared. And for those of you that have the digital version, they start on page 20. But when you think about the services that Ron qualifies for, you know, figuring out how to get him a cell phone, getting him rent, getting him food, basic needs, if you think about the Maslow's hierarchy, you know, what he needed. And then to be able to get all of those met so that he could feel confident to go to a job fair and start networking with people, to getting a job that's potentially paying $32 an hour. I mean, I'm speculating. I don't know Ron, but I'm going to guess, based on what he's qualified for, he was probably at a very vulnerable and very low point. And to understand what he was able to get, to go from no income to $32 an hour, that is beyond a success story. And so while many of us sit around trying to figure out how to build our workforce and our talent base, we are always thrilled when we get workers that work for us that are incredible, that are engaged, and that are really trying to better the company, but also better their lives. That's what we want to do, right? Be able to contribute. And we do this work to keep, you know, our workforce strong, but we also are trying to help those enter the workforce so that we can keep our economy growing. And I also think it's really good to read through success stories, because I think it helps when you see all the different types of ways that the departments and the core partners are helping. Starts to wrap your head around all the services that are available. We had a pretty significant conversation during our executive committee surrounding career pathways, and just recognizing that still there are so many people that don't access Department of Workforce Services until they're in trouble or really, you know, they don't have anywhere else to turn, where our youth could benefit so much from engaging and just learning how to engage in a career path and understanding what they can get. So just, again, to reemphasize what Heather said, I know it's hard for us to understand all the different types of, so you might look at that statistics and just try and wrap your head around Wagner-Pizer and Tanef and all those types of things, but read the success stories because holistically you'll understand the concept of what's available. We don't necessarily have to understand the inner workings of all of the legal and the money things coming in and the different programs, but the services are there. So pretty incredible, really incredible. So any other questions about the wheel plan and the annual narrative? Obviously, the department is doing a very good job. We're meeting our goals. Utah still leads out in many, many ways. But just to emphasize for our action items for board members, read your success stories in that annual narrative, and then review that five-page summary just to get a good understanding of where we're headed into the next 2 years. So, Nicole, did I do that justice for you? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yes. Can I just thank all the staff, all of our employees that worked on this too, because I know this is like taking up a lot of your time for several months. So nice job to everybody involved.
And thank you for your committee work too, for looking at the goals and getting that stuff in. Kim keeps track of it all for us, but it does definitely just need some input from everyone. That's why we have a board throughout the state, because we all have different opinions and different things that are affecting maybe our areas. I'm going to, I don't know if I can, I probably technically need a motion to change the agenda, but I'm going to not worry about that. We have Rebecca Banner hopped on the call just so she can introduce herself, and so I don't want her to have, I mean, you are welcome to stay for the entire rest of the meeting, and we have a great time. Thank you for popping on just last minute. We would love for you to introduce yourself, kind of maybe explain what you were doing before, and then just kind of your role. Not everybody knew Nate, maybe, as well as, I don't know that I knew him well, but I know Nate. And just kind of explain maybe what your new role is and what you'll be doing to support the board.
Great. Thank you. Again, thanks for letting me jump onto your call. It was really fun to hear the last update. My name is Rebecca Banner, and I am currently working as one of the deputy directors for the Department of Workforce Services. But I started my employment with the state and with Workforce Services about 23 years ago in the Workforce Development Division. I spent 17 years working in employment centers, working with the WIOA program, with TANF, with you know, all of the everything. I think a little bit of refugee services, a little bit of food support with our vocation rehab. And so I was able to spend 17 years in our workforce development division And then I moved into our Housing and Community Development Division as an assistant director for about 3 years. And most recently, I have been the director of the Office of Child Care in our department for about 3 years. And so I have a lot of exposure to the programs in our department, and some more familiar than others. But in my role as a deputy director, I get to support all of the divisions, but most specifically the divisions that report to me are our Refugee Services Office, our Office of Child Care, Office of Homeless Services, and Housing and Community Development. And so I'm one of three deputies that support the work of our department and be able to support our director, Director Cameron. And I'm just excited to be here and kind of learn more, dust off some of those cobwebs from my WDD programs. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to take a couple of minutes and meet with this board. And I hope to be able to come in person sometime so I can actually meet all of you board members and in person and face-to-face. But I've enjoyed spending a couple minutes on the call, and I may listen in for a little bit, if that's okay.
Well, that's great. And when you summarized the departments that you oversee, my mind is like blowing up. None of us in this room are thinking about housing, child care. We know the governor's focus and what we've done in the state as far as refugees. Those are not small lists. So hopefully we'll see you again soon so you can update us on the homelessness. That was the other one. Those are very – nobody in this room is not familiar with those things and how they're affecting our regions and the state. So thank you so much. We're excited to be working with you.
Great. Thank you.
Any questions for Rebecca? Any questions for Dan Walker and his? Okay, just teasing. Okay, all right. So we will move on then. The next thing is in your packet, and for those of you online, you should have had a link. You'll want to pull out your. It's kind of for those here. It's kind of the folded over, slippy one. Workforce and employer update, and I'm going to turn the time over to Wes, and he's pinch hitting for John today.
Yeah.
You pinch it last quarter too.
No, nobody else did. I pitched it for a minute. You were trading earlier. We're just going to highlight some few things that are on this quarter. I just pulled out highlights. All of them are really powerful and important. So if you have time to look at this one, that they would encourage you to. But different ways that we've been out there and supporting our employer community and vice versa, I think that a lot of these efforts take that collaboration with our employer community. But we've had a couple of hiring events. Specifically, the Workforce Services staff attended a construction and industry fair at the Weber State University on October 25th, and they connected with over 50 job seekers, providing them information on how to connect to WIOA and apply for WIOA. That was all of the job seekers in attendance, so hopefully that message and word will continue to spread. There were over 30 employers that participated in the event, and 100 job seekers that attended that one. I'm going to skip down to the Better Your Business Breakfast Seminar. I guess it's not breakfast anymore because it's virtual, but we held a virtual Better Your Business Seminar where we were able to work with WorkCo along with their Mountain Health and Science Bank Corporation. And on November 28th, we provided the shared information on gratitude at the workplace, which is huge. As we continue to work through turnover and recidivism, things like that, how do we help make sure that we're recognizing those that are working hard? So it was a well-attended event and a lot of positive feedback from that. So thank you for those employers who participated in it. Our very own Zach Whitwell, he presented to the UNovation on the Technology College on November 29th on different things that we're doing to help support rural Utah. One of the cool things about that is they awarded the UNovation and recognized the Workforce Services Office for all that they're doing to help support and find jobs and support economic development out in rural Utah. So thank you for all your efforts out there. We appreciate that. Also, one thing that we do that sometimes doesn't get talked about as much is we partner with our educational partners in the area. So higher ed and our technical colleges, our workforce development specialists go out and meet on their advisory boards. Those consist of employers as well who help talk about the different certificates and or programs that people are trying to obtain, what the skill gaps might be that they're seeing in the labor force. And our WDS is going and they share economic data locally and statewide on some of those industries and occupations to help plan that for all of those entities. For example, the Mountain Land Service area was part of six advisory boards this past quarter for medical, welding, pipe fitting, fabrication, and dental industries. So just something to reference there. Our Veteran Military Employment Services on page 3, we participated in the Transition Assistance Program. We participated in six of those CAP meetings where our military veterans are exiting back into civilian life and help providing them overview of how to cross-match those skills and get back connected, not just themselves, but their spouses and families to civilian life. So a lot of cool efforts happening there. Down in apprenticeships, which is a fun and hot topic, Governor Spencer Cox declared November 13th to the 19th National Apprenticeship Week in Utah. And to celebrate, the Apprenticeship Utah Summit was held on November 14th, and it was attended very, very well. There were approximately 175 business industries and education and community partners in attendance, and over 150 job seekers that attended that event to learn about apprenticeships. In addition to that, Workforce Services has hired two apprenticeship navigators, Abby Rowe Rowley and Renee Meza, to continue to expand our efforts in making people aware of apprenticeships in Utah and gaining more and more momentum toward those initiatives and those goals. So lots of exciting stuff happening there. For Office of Rehabilitation, the Choose to Work team hosted a Workability Career Exploration and Job Fair with the Division of Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired. 38 employers and partners attended, and attendees included job seekers and students from local school districts, and approximately 215 individuals were in attendance at that career fair. So a lot of cool, we talked about career pathways and things like that, getting kids connected to those things early on. So a lot of great work happening there. Your last page of your packet, page 4, talks about some of the things that are coming up this quarter. So a couple things that stand out. We have a few more of those career fairs that are happening. A lot of them probably even some that we haven't even calendared yet, where we go out to those high schools or participate with some of our communities that way. January 25th, we have our STEM Day on the Hill. And then March 7th is our next statewide virtual job fair. And we actually have one that's going on right now. It ends at 3 o'clock. So that's the one that's currently got your flyer for you in your packet, one for employers and for job seekers. But get prepared for our one coming up on March 7th. We always get excited about those and want as much participation as we can with employers and job seekers alike to help bridge those gaps together and help make the economy grow. So thank you for your time. If you have any questions, that's what I got for them.
My biggest plug is probably the apprenticeship support that they just hired. So apprenticeships are really growing and thinking outside the box and hitting different types of industries. So if your companies or you have people in your area that are looking at finding ways that our unemployment is low, you know, that's good and bad. So if you're trying to build talent, you want to try and find some ways to develop the program, reach out to those apprenticeships. Support in the state, see if you can build a model of some kind to really help break down the barriers and get through getting apprenticeships figured out. So make sure to reach out to them.
Thank you.
Couple of things before we go into report out that I wanted to bring up, if I can. I'm just jumping all over. I'm going to be honest, my meetings. and I don't want to lose anybody on the call. Anybody have to hop off early? These are kind of important. So just a note, our April meeting was moved up a week. The governor's summit is just always a wild card in the spring and the fall. So Our meeting will be a week earlier in April, so please make note of that on your calendars. I think Natalie's already sent out those meeting invites, but just remember that it's the first Thursday in April instead of the second Thursday. And then we will also have a few spots. We're not quite sure how many spots we'll have, but for those of you that are interested in attending the Governor's Summit the following week, so it's the Spring Summit, One Utah Summit in the spring that's up here. I believe it is back at the Grand America this year. So that will be April 11th. There's a little bit the night before, I think, too. So anyway, if anyone's interested, we do have a few spots open for board members. It's kind of first come, first serve. So if you want to hit that, make sure that you let Natalie know. I'm just going to kind of put it in a triage order of who wants to go. Dan already, like, on the corner saying, I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I don't miss it. It's so good. Oh, yeah. It's 11th and 12th. It's kind of a two-day thing. Get on the website. Check it out. But just remember, board meetings a little bit earlier, and then hit the summit if you can. They're always good. A little partial to the one down south, but the one up here is good, too. So that was my second thing. My last thing is, and I failed to mention this, I think, that we had three new board members approved yesterday. I didn't mention it. I think I did exactly the meeting. So we have three new board members that approved yesterday. They don't know that they were approved yesterday yet. So we hope to see them in April. It does take a little while for that to come around. But just so you're aware, Jordan Leonard from Emory County, the county commissioner down there, will be joining us. I also believe he works at Utah State. Stern, did I say that right? Kendall Thomas, who is on the Tooele City Council, will also be joining the board. Great conversation with him. He's very engaged. Has a lot of experience in the state, so he'll be a great add. And then Lauren Davidomski. I don't think I said that right. Anyway, she's with Lantern House up in Ogden. And they provide adult and child services for homelessness. And incredible organization, incredible facility. Very excited to have her join us as well. Talked to her several months ago, but she's very engaging, and I'm really pumped to have all three of them there for you. I swear I talked to them like a long time ago. So I'm so glad they're finally approved, but they'll be joining the ranks with us, and we'll do their orientation here coming up, hopefully in April. We can get them all here and do an orientation and get them going. So those were just three announcements that I forgot about. Any questions about those? April meeting, summit, new members? All right, then we'll head into just check your packets. There is a lot of really good stuff in there. If you're not participating in these virtual job fairs, they're seriously the most slick thing ever. You just literally have to be available on your computer for a chat if someone pops in. It's so simple. I would encourage you to do that. There's several really good flyers in your thing. Make sure you're looking at all of those. It looks like a few that probably Deanna or Leah might touch on, so we won't worry about that too much. So we will jump into Carrie, is there anything else you want to cover in operations?
No, Megan, we hit those three. You can highlight them real quick, but those were our three. Yes, correct.
Okay, so operations supports our certifications. So we just talked about price and all the affiliate sites. That's really what operations have been working on, plus their contributions to the update on the LEO state plan. So that is operations in a nutshell. So if nobody has questions about operations, we will move on to, we'll go backwards this time. Jennifer, do you want to go next?
Okay. I want to report on some of the survey data that we received back from colleagues, state stakeholders, that I think will inform the work of the committee and the regular committee to have tactics and kind of activities associated with the strategy of the plan. And so the stakeholders that contacted, I mistakenly said 45 school districts, actually 41 school districts, and then there were three charter schools. One in the Wasatch area, Wasatch Front area, they have a kind of consortium, and then two others from of the Wasatch Front. And then we also have been talking to technical colleges in Utah, and if you'll, I think I shared this a while back with this committee, but on July 1st in 2020, what used to be an independent network of applied technology colleges in the state of Utah and then degree granting institutions, the state institutions merged. And so all of those are together now as part of one higher ed system. But the connections we're working on with higher ed specifically are the technical colleges. And that's, let's see, that was eight standalone technical colleges, and then three that are degree granting institutions that have that vision. And the reason we're focusing on those, not that we don't care about pathways to four-year institutions, but the technical colleges have a specific mission of employment and yes, also articulation in the 4 years, but at least beginning right now to focus on high school education pathways to potentially the technical college pathways, but ultimately, you know, the to employment either directly from high school or certificates or career technical education degrees. And then we're also talking to parents and as well as students about what their experiences are, pathways, and the idea of getting stakeholder input to then inform the specific goals of the committee is that as we looked at the pathway committee work historically, which has been significant, you know, how do we make some decisions going forward? Because it's the one area of the state plan, but one committee that's not, as I understand it, federally mandated. And so we have a lot of latitude about how we set these goals and what we want. I also had a great conversation during the executive committee to touch base with our workforce DWF leaders just to make sure that we're on track and any sort of data, so reporting outcome data that we're doing our part to do that to inform the plan. But some of the things that Nathan Beck asked me to kind of highlight that I think were interesting, and I think some of it seems intuitive, but we were able to confirm it. So school districts report that there are opportunities to strengthen the connection between K-12 pathways, education pathways, and higher ed education pathways. And then conversely, the higher ed or the technical colleges are reporting the same. And some of that is specifically because in most cases, K-12, how they define pathways is different. You know, what's included in manufacturing might be different than what's included in manufacturing from a higher ed perspective. And there's some gaps about that alignment. And having conversations about how do we close those gaps so that when we talk about pathways with students, whether they're in K-12 or whether they're adult learners and maybe they're coming to directly to BMS or they're going to higher ed, that giving the pathways a little more definition. And we're confirming that is a need expressed by these stakeholders. The other thing that was interesting is most school districts and technical colleges report that while they have strong, in most cases, they're reporting strong relationships with DWF employment centers, that they believe that there's opportunity to strengthen those, and opportunities are specifically surrounded by the fact that their community members, their constituents, particularly parents, but also really their own advisors, academic advisors, counselors, that's what they call them. CWS is where you go if you're unemployed, not necessarily as part of the planning process and mapping out futures for younger students or to help adults who maybe underemployed or maybe not, maybe aren't in any sort of rush to make a change, but are aware of the fact that maybe physically they are not going to be able to do their career choice for much longer, and rather than wait to be in crisis, how do you plan for those transitions and what does that career pathway look like as an adult, and that Workforce Services is a strong partner with that, but we're confirming that for all the work that has occurred over the last few years, I think in particular, to communicate that, there's still some gaps in understanding about the resource, and that continues to be an opportunity. Probably the other two things that I just wanted to highlight is both rural and urban areas report the need to support. Even though the challenges they report are different in rural or urban areas, they're nonetheless consistently reporting that communication is a bit of a struggle. And what I mean by that is really great information may come from Workforce Services or from any other source, but maybe it comes to their HR department and doesn't make it into the inbox or mailbox or whatever of a manager. Or conversely, maybe it shows up with a manager who may or may not find it useful, but it doesn't get shared across the departments within an employer. Same thing in K-12, shows up in the superintendent's mailbox or mail room or principal, and it's not necessarily getting to the right places. Or it gets to the right place, but only one of the right places within an institution. And so I think when we talked a little bit about this with the executive meeting just before this, is that it is a complex equation, and I think something that we always have to work on, how you refresh distribution lists, how do you make sure that you're continuing to do that work, that your communication channels are fresh, but also the acknowledgement that that's labor intensive and not something that only DWS can be responsible for. I think we all have goals. Finally, students enjoy visiting employers and participating in hands-on opportunities, and that was confirmed in a number of different ways, and that puts an opportunity, but also a burden on employers. What does that look like? And many of you hang out or work with kids from high school or junior high, and I guess about middle school. Engaging them is becoming more and more difficult. Now they have phones and technology, and so it's a bit of a challenge to make sure that those activities are interesting to them, but those engagements, particularly as our disciplines and the career sectors become more complex. As an example, non-destructive testing, anything about that is really quite fascinating. Right? All the old sound, different kinds of technology used to test, whether it's how things are put together, so you don't have to take apart an airplane to know that it's sound, right? And so, but still, when you say NDT or non-destructive testing to students, they're like, now it's
that. But if you show them blue in the dark paint and black light,
right, they're all about it. Right. And composites is the same thing. The symbol is composites, so that doesn't sound very interesting. But if you show them that composites can be used to create some of their cosplay, accessories, so that's cool. But that's part of the communication, how do we connect with students? And it's not just junior high, and really the point is that we need to reach students younger and younger as we're trying to grow the workforce in Utah. How do we engage that in a way that helps them be interested in pathways as soon as possible? And that goes with not just the younger students, but it's how we engage refugees, how people who have different types of learning abilities or different types of challenges, how you communicate pathways to different audiences is one of the questions it appears that as we have the opportunity to consider and hopefully choose to engage in the class. That appears to be a gap. And then what has emerged, and I think we've talked about this before, but just to confirm that the pathways have the opportunity to really interface with certainly the community about youth programming and youth, but also apprenticeships, and those two make sense, but also finally with the third in serving persons with disabilities, because the pathways that are available to everyone need to be for everyone, and how we think about any sort of customizations or differences in how those are presented, we need to do that work. And therein is really how we then grow the skilled workforce that we need in Utah. Can't just keep recycling people who are already working. We need to add to the workforce, add to the skilled workforce. We really need to look at all those different departments and or areas. And I think we're in a position that the stakeholders across the state need that support, and that this board and hopefully for our community board will be able to provide that, right, at least some of that support.
We just said a reasonable modification.
Thank you.
Those are the words.
Thank you.
Those are the words that aren't always. If you're in your office by
yourself, you can think about it. But if you're not, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I
appreciate that.
So, as you guys will recall, I asked Jennifer to step into the career pathways 6 months ago, and so she's new and really taking bull by the horns and did that assessment, and is going to use this report as a way to kind of launch the Career Pathways group kind of into their next level, their next step, and what we're going to be doing. So also, I'm on Career Pathways, so if you want to join Jennifer and I and Jane, then come on board, because we're ready to hit the ground running and try and figure some of this out. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay, thank you. So excited. Sherry has plans for February, March. Very good. Sorry, I'm writing my to-do list. I have things to do on this meeting. From this meeting. Serving individuals with disabilities. Did you want to do it?
Or? Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Leah, be on the ready if she needs
to. Yeah, feel free.
But Deanna's going to report out for us.
Okay. So, and I'm going to just go over these. There's a number of handouts in your packet. You guys can look through those and read through those. I'm just going to hit some of these, and then if y'all tell this list in your packet, it's going to go a lot of fun. Touch on, but Choose to Work, and their team has been doing some recruitment downtown and any seats or any offices. And there's some upcoming events for Lunch and Learn January 22nd. There's an Epilepsy in Everyday Life January 24th, Unleashing Your Potential, Mastering the Drive System. And I don't know what the Drive System is, so I'm going to find out what that is. There's also January 30th, the Utah Center for Assistive Technology will be conducting a Lunch and Learn as well. They have a flash mentoring event that's coming up February 26th through 8th. If there are any employers or people in here that would like to assist with being a mentor, keep your name and email address to Leah. She'll try to line you up with people who might be interested in getting some mentoring. So, and then there's March 12th, it's the employer workshop, which is phenomenal. And if you're not in that, I would recommend that, highly recommend that to any of the employers. And that is from, let me see, what's that?
You just mentioned that's the 1 hour virtual event.
Oh, yes, 1 hour is your time commitment. Thank you, Leah. And then, I kind of got ahead of myself on this. That's from 9 to noon, and it is no cost to the participant, and they will want to lunch with that. So, April 9th is the Workability Career Fair, and I think, is that included in here? Somebody, Leah, was that? No, we didn't get that handout yet.
We are still working on getting that handout completed, so just to save the date for April 9th, and it's the Targeted Workability Career Fair for People with Disabilities.
And then, let's see, going back, I'm going to do these in order, how I have them. back on November 8th, the governor's committee was able to meet with Senator Cox, which was very interesting. It was a brief visit, but it was still nice to be able to meet him in person. The Golden Key Award is coming up. So September 26th, mark your calendars. We're going to be holding a Disability End Summit in conjunction with the Golden Key Awards. And it is a fantastic event. There's so much to learn while you're there, and just a great way to engage and to be out there. They acknowledge employers that I think one of the key things, as well as offer scholarships. So they acknowledge employers who are excelling in hiring and retaining individuals with disabilities, and they also offer scholarships for individuals with disabilities and veterans as well. Is there anything else, Leah? Things have been really good.
Just as a reminder, Leah, you go.
I was just saying, she did a great job. Thank you, Deanna.
So just as a reminder, this committee is a little bit unique in that it has, we're the governor's committee on workforce development, but the committee that both Leah and Deanna sit on is like a whole separate governor's committee, and so they really just liaison with us. So
more of a representative.
She's kind of a,
she's got her own chair.
But definitely some collaborative stuff that goes along with that. So thank you so much. The next two, so youth, Matt Lou is a very active member of Washington County, and so What's Up Down South is taking his time today. That's where he's at. So I'm going to let and he's also new. He and Jennifer both joined the executive committee at the same time. And so they're really, again, just kicking off that next level of their committee work. So I'm going to let Nicole report out on youth. And I believe she's also going to report out on apprenticeship for me because Joey's working on legislative stuff. So now you can listen to Nicole for a hot minute. Then we'll wrap up. Awesome.
Thank you. So Megan mentioned Matt is new to his role, so a lot of their work has been kind of like grouping, identifying who are the committee participants, and hashing out what their goals and areas of focus are, especially in relation to the OSC plan. So they kind of set up some regular meeting schedules. They're kind of working on what they want to work on. And some of the things they're targeting are brainstorming ideas on how they could highlight youth programs and increase recruitment through, like, short videos or reels or different things that they could utilize with that. So I would expect that we would hear more at our April meeting about some of those efforts as they kind of finalize what they're going to be tackling first. And they are looking for new representation. So if you...
We can't hear, or I can't hear.
We can't hear either.
Or...
Hey, Aaron, I'm going to say the same thing I said before, right? For the executive committee meeting. That if we can't hear, we're going to take a motion to adjourn.
For the apprenticeship committee, Weston kind of already talked about this in the employer update, but in November, National Apprenticeship Week. I've had the Apprenticeship Summit, so a lot of great efforts in that realm. There are the two new staff, so I would just encourage you, if you or someone you know is looking to explore apprenticeships and needs some help setting that up, reaching out to Abby or Renee. Renee covers the northern part of the state. Abby covers the southern part of the state. But you can also feel free to reach out to me, Alexia or Lindsay,
to get some help or support around apprenticeship. We are in the process of trying to fill Melissa's vacancy and trying to manage that, probably have someone in place that we can introduce at the next board meeting and have them jump into the work of the apprenticeship committee as well. So.
Okay. Does anybody have, which isn't actually officially on the agenda, but I'm going to say it anyway. Any of the
Can I add to the friendship report? So one thing that also I'm glad they mentioned the summit that was well attended and I mean very informative. But there's another thing that we're adding to is it's going to be the first National Youth Friendship Week. It's going to be May 5th through the 11th. The purpose of this week is to highlight the benefits and the value of registered friendship program opportunities for the youth. We've kind of talked about some opportunities of maybe some open houses with some of these trade centers, maybe some career fairs, something that we can do during that week. But we'll actually be meeting as a group next week.
So for those dates, May what?
May 5th through the 11th.
Are you targeting those awesome seniors that are just about to graduate?
Yes, we're going to try to target all youth if we can.
Jenny, in those discussions, can you figure out how to bus Southern Utah kids up north to those awesome places?
Yeah.
I would love to figure that out.
Or, you know, do like an expansion, like, because we talked about some different open houses. You know, maybe we can do some different things in some different areas that, you know, we could kind of highlight all the different career paths.
Exciting. Good
update. Anything
else?
Yes. Another thing that a lot of us have been partnered with and supported to is the Women in Trades Career Friendship Program. They just finished up. We have a graduation on December 19th. This is an opportunity for these individuals to tour around to different training centers, get different training at each training center. So I think Local 140 hosted them for a day or two. Electrical Training Alliance hosted them for like a day or two where they were able to come in and get some safety training and also some hands-on training. It's for general construction and job site safety. I believe they were even able to go and tour one of the training or one of the construction sites as well. So,
question on that. Is that vertical construction? You said general, but what do you mean by that?
It's not specific to any trade, I guess, general trade. So it's just general topics. So they were able to go around to, like, the sheet metals, the electrical, pipe fitters, welders, operating engineers, gave them an opportunity to kind of see how each one of the training centers operated, and then they were able to kind of choose from there what their pathway was. I know the Electrical Training Alliance, we've had two that have taken the pathway into our electrical program. I believe one went into the pipe fitters, one went into welders, and one went to the operating engineers. So, I mean, it's a great way to kind of introduce them to the trades. There is another group that's going to be starting here within the next week or two. I think they have like 15 or 18 participants. So it's growing and kind of gaining traction.
What would it take for this group to be able to meet and then do a tour at one of those centers?
Very easy. Different request.
Is there one of your partners that can fit us all, that can be out of meeting at their location and then do a tour?
I think either one of us, 140, or we're just right down the street, Electrical Training Alliance.
That sounds like a great April meeting to me.
Yeah, we'd love to host it.
And it would lead up really well into your National Youth Apprenticeship Week.
Yeah.
Ooh, consider a phone call. Right.
Yeah, we're Electrical Training Alliance, we're doing an open house on that 11th on that Saturday as part of, you know, kind of,
I think, and people can disagree with me, but I think just like what we did the
CBS.
Thank you. The flying training. Thank you. it's like a long word, so I'm going to mess it up. But for those of you that did attend that, I mean, just, I've told so many people about that, even if they didn't want to hear about it. But just to see, like, the words, the woodshop, and the sewing, and the cooking, and, I mean, all the things that we did, I just think that is very useful for us, to be able to see those types of things. There you go. So I think that we should consider that. Apprenticeships is one of our things. I'm trying to get David over to host the lagoon. So I think we might as well, you know, let's get out and
I don't know if you want to go to the lagoon. I want to go to the
lagoon. So we're going to do that. So I'm going to reach out. Let's figure out how to get that done. I think field trips are a great way for us to have engaged meetings. Everyone, figure out how to get to Salt Lake for April 4th because we're going to be visiting an industry that training center for apprenticeships. So excited. So we're going to figure out how to make that happen. So April 4th, make note. We're going on a field trip for our meeting. We'll, how long do we need?
As long as you are.
What logic will to make it effective?
We can do it. It depends on how much information. So let me just give it a general overview. I think we can run through the center within about half hour.
Okay, cool. We'll plan on tagging it to the end of our agenda. So excited. Sorry, I just made executive decisions. Okay, any public comments?
I've got another.
Oh, yeah,
I actually just met with Job Corps about their work-based learning internships. Something that, you know, I'm really wanting to get our contractors included in. I think it's an excellent pathway. I've also been approached by high schools too for that. Our problem with the high schools is they're part-time. You know, you're only going to get them a couple hours a week. Or a couple hours a day. But the thing I liked about this Job Corps is they're available full time. And they can be available for, up to 6 to 12 weeks at a time. So it's, I think it's a great way for, an employer that will pre-screen kind of see, you know, how these guys are going to work in the industry. Also give these guys an opportunity to apply what they've learned within what they've got out there at Job Corps to where they could apply their skills and see if this is something that they really want to do. But also, if I can create a pathway, I know the electrical training lines, I just created a pathway where we were going to do a direct interview for anybody who's completed that program. We're still looking over the curriculum to see what we need for anybody who's completed the electrical side. But I just think it's a great career pathway for these guys to get right out their door.
Yeah. That's it. That's awesome. So good. All right. Public comment.
Nice to put in a plug for Leo's team, her business relations, as well for the business relations team as well. That was kind of covered in the newsletter, but Ben and Josh and Leah came to our store website and did a phenomenal training session for our person at Beginning Energy, and that was great. So if anyone wants some additional training, the business relations group to come over and to kind of skip over that, but I wanted to make sure that I acknowledged that what they did for us. We appreciate it.
Very cool. Just a plug then to encourage you to just share what you have here out into your network. I was sharing with Sarah and the executive team. I shared the ABLE information that we had. That's the second time we've had that training on the ABLE account. And our benefit people were thrilled to get the information. So just a plug as you read things that might be applicable to those in your region and your network, make sure you're sharing those things. And with that, we are adjourned until April 4th. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.